Colin Russo with ESPN West Palm tonight, live at the City Place Studios, joined now by a neurosurgeon at the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute. It's Dr. John Afshar joining us now on ESPN 106.3. Dr. Afshar, I appreciate the time. How are you doing today? What's going on?
Fantastic. Looking forward to this.
Well, Dr. Afshar, how about you start off by giving us a little bit of a background? All right, you're a neurosurgeon who's been down here for 30 years, but how do you even get to this point? Where did this all start for you?
It all started in Washington, D.C. I attended Georgetown University undergraduate, and I kind of fell in love with science and medicine. And that kind of what drove me to becoming a doctor. After that, I went into Georgetown Medical School for 4 years and then trained in the neurosurgery program at Georgetown University for 8 years as well.
So you never shifted out of Georgetown?
Nope, I'm a triple Hoya.
Wow, how about that? Was that the plan all along? You knew you wanted to stay there? Or I know how medical school kind of operates. It's like wherever you go, like it gets in, you got to just think of it like a...
Yeah, exactly.
You're situational. Yeah.
Georgetown was the best spot for me. Great city. Great resources and great education there. So I stayed there the whole time, and I was offered to become a professor there, but I decided it was time to move on, and I interviewed down in Florida and fell in love with the East Coast in the Palm Beach area and started actually up in Stewart for about 25 years as a neurosurgeon and developed a practice there, and then migrated to West Palm Beach. In the last 6 years, I've been with Tenet Healthcare.
And going to Florida, I mean, did you want to escape the weather? What was it? Or is it the opportunity?
Weather. Yeah, it was opportunity, but also it was the weather. I go, my wife and I look at each other, go, everyone comes down here for vacation, so why don't we live here?
Right, let's see what it's about.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. And so coming down here, when you got started in Palm Beach, I mean, 25, 30 years ago, it's got to look a lot different from what it was then comparatively to what it was now. That's got to be a completely different place that you're walking through today as you were even 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, huh?
Yeah, there's been tremendous growth here in the population growth and the need for, you know, neurosurgical services, which include, you know, brain and spine are just utmost importance to the community.
And let me ask you this before we get into your career further. What years were you at Georgetown undergrad?
The best years.
You were there were you there in the 80s?
Yes.
The John Thompson teams?
John Thompson, Patrick Ewing, Mutombo.
So you were there for 83, 84?
Alonzo Mourning. Yes, Alonzo Mourning. I was there for all the top players.
Wow. Okay, because I'm a UConn guy, so I'm Big East through and through. But, you know, with Georgetown trying to get back to the promised land a little bit.
We are. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. But, I mean, always been one of those all-time great programs. And you want to talk about some of the best teams of all time. That 84-85 team who lost in the title game, what was that, to Villanova?
Yes.
That was one of the great games in the history of college basketball.
I think it was Pickney.
Yeah.
They shot an air ball. Pickney grabbed it and then put it in right close to the
Yeah. Unbelievable. And that was Riley Massimino, who was the coach of Villanova, who actually ended his career down here in West Palm Beach at Northwoods University, which is current day Kaiser, which is right down the street. And Riley Massimino, who was the coach of Villanova at the time, did like his last 6 years of his coaching career at Northwoods down here in West Palm Beach. Loved the area so much. Lived in, family was at Jupiter and the whole thing. So he's a South Florida guy himself. Just got to do a little college basketball.
Absolutely.
There. I'm going to squeeze it towards the end too. But tell us a little bit more about your medical practice. So you're a neurosurgeon, but for those who are not listening or who don't understand it, What do they do, and what do you do to help patients?
Yeah, most people believe a neurosurgeon is a brain surgeon. Which,
right.
You know, I've been doing that for 25 years. In the last probably 7 years, I've basically, my practice has shifted pretty much to all spine.
Mm.
Originally, my practice, most community setting practices are 80% spine, 20% brain for neurosurgeons in general. Since I've moved down and my partner retired, I decided just to do spine only in the last 5 years.
But why make that decision?
Because brain is more labor intensive.
Oh, is it?
Patients get in the hospital longer. I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. I have to make all the rounds. I do have a PA. All my patients go home the next day, basically.
Yeah, it's a difficult specialization, huh?
Yeah.
But with spine, too, I mean, what type of cases are you dealing with here?
Basically, I treat cervical and lumbar degenerative disc disease, disc herniation, spinal stenosis. Those are the most common, pretty much 90% of the problems I deal with.
Really? And I mean, is that come with an age thing that you see obviously an older age of people that have the spine issues, usually, or do you see all different age groups there?
Pretty much all age groups.
Wow.
But more predominant, I'd say, once you get past 40 and 50, I start to see it more commonly.
And if somebody's listening and they're thinking, well, the one thing about if somebody who doesn't understand like medical practices, is they don't really know what type of doctor they should see. And if I have this symptom, all right, I don't really, there's 100 different specializations here, but if they wanted to go see somebody like you in the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute or neurosurgeon, for instance, what type of symptoms would they be needing to see in order to understand, all right, maybe I have something going on that I need to get this checked out by a neurosurgeon?
Yeah. Most common symptom is, of course, neck and back pain. Now, those are most likely musculoskeletal. You modify your activity, take an anti-inflammatory Motrin Advil, it goes away in a week or two. But if it persists more than 4 weeks, that is kind of a early sign or red flag that you should probably have it checked out. So you would either see a neurosurgeon and an orthopedic. So a lot of people get confused. Some people identify orthopedic with, you know, hips, knees, back, and neurosurgeon just with brain. But most neurosurgeons predominantly treat back and neck problems all the time. And the training is a little bit different. The usual course of neurosurgery residency includes complete spine treatments, whereas orthopedic, they do their general orthopedics, then they have to do a fellowship in spine after they graduate.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. My experience, I had a, when I was in high school, you mentioned all the age groups who have issues. I'm not saying this was wasn't a disc issue, but I had a stress fracture, my L4, L5. And that's a tedious injury because it's just a waiting game, stress fracture stuff. I assumed it was because of weightlifting, but that was another situation where, you know, it's a tricky, very nuanced type of thing to treat. And that was my experience with, I guess, seeing the different specialists and getting an understanding of how to do this the right way and everything like that. But feel good now, you know, no back issues today. So I don't need to see you at the moment. But building off of this, Dr. John Afshar, the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute, joining us now on ESPN 106.3. Tell me a little bit about the complex cases that you've seen, whether it's certain very tedious types of treatments or something that you haven't seen before, the surprises that you've seen throughout your career.
Yeah, so most recently, I just saw a patient who flew in from Pennsylvania to see me.
Mm.
And what happened to him, he went to a community hospital and the neurosurgeon treated him surgically through the anterior approach in the neck. He had a neck problem.
Right.
And he had severe cord compression with swelling on the cord and had the surgery. But I guess because of the complexity of the spine and the deformity, he didn't get the job completely done. And he admitted it to the patient. So he kind of lived with it for a year, but his left arm was going numb, progressive paralysis. And someone who knew him, who knew me, or somebody says, you got to fly down and see Dr. John Afshar. So he came down. Admitted him, got him worked up, and then we just did a major reconstruction of his neck where we had to actually carve out the blocks of bone called the vertebrae to decompress his spinal cord and then put a spacer, expandable spacer with plates and screws to reconstruct his spine. And I just saw him like about 7 days ago. He said, I want to go back to work already.
Wow. And what's the recovery look like for something like that?
He's going to take it easy for 4 to 6 weeks. And then
not as bad as I thought it would be. Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Now, if he was a laborer, then I'd probably make it more like 8 to 12 weeks. But he sells cars in Pennsylvania. I say you can go back to work, you know.
Wow. And operating on something like that, I'm curious, coming from a very inexperienced, uneducated perspective, it's got to be very tricky to operate on the spine. Obviously, I think of spine operations, I get nervous because everybody knows that the one thing that you don't want to really hurt is stuff going on with your spine. Knowing this as a doctor, is that those types of worries that patients could have, is that, I guess, warranted, or do people get the wrong idea about it?
Yeah, no, it's warranted. Because no matter what, if you do a spine surgery in the best clinical situation where the patient's symptoms fit, they fail conservative therapy, you do a perfect operation, there's a less than 5% chance they can still have residual pain because the nerve is damaged.
Right.
So after the nerve is decompressed, that's really the first goal of the surgeon is decompression, free the nerve or the spinal cord. That allows the spinal cord to heal. That's the unpredictable part. How are the nerves going to regenerate? How are they going to reconnect? If they reconnect straight, Dr. Afshar, I have no pain. Dr. Afshar, I'm 80% better because the connection is crooked a little bit. So they may have some residual discomfort from that. So it's very important to catch it early before they get any significant neurologic deficits, which then provides a better outcome.
Really?
For the patient, yes.
How about that? And tell us a little bit about the difference between cervical and lumbar disc replacement versus something like spinal fusion.
Yeah. So your options for cervical and lumbar surgery are basically laminectomy.
Okay.
Decompression only versus laminectomy with fusion. Or decompression with disc replacement.
All right.
Okay? So it's pretty complex, as you can see. So most of the patients that come to my clinic have back pain and they have radiating pain, let's say down their leg, down their arm, and they have a nerve that's being compressed. So in those situations, we tend to try to do just a laminectomy with no fusion, no disc replacement. You try to preserve the anatomy. That's the goal. That's the goal of my practice, okay? So by doing that, most patients do fine with that. They may have a little back pain and all that, but if they do aggressive rehabilitation after it, they can actually control their back pain pretty well. So I reserve the fusion, the disc replacements as a secondary phenomenon. Now,
is that for like more severe situations or no?
It can be severe or not so severe.
Okay.
But what we do preoperatively when we decide to do surgery on somebody, we do a dynamic x-ray called a flexion extension, where we see if they have instability, if the vertebrae are shifting beyond their normal motion.
Mm.
If they are, then that means that if you do a laminectomy, you may destabilize the spine more. And then the patient may go, hey, I'm better, my arm pain better, but my neck's not better, but my neck's getting worse over the next several months, is because now the vertebrae is shifting more because we just did the decompression, removed bone, which weakened the spine. So in other words, if the patient has no instability or shifting before the surgery, then we tend to stay with the more simple operation called laminectomy decompression.
Wow, how about that?
And if they have shifting, then we discuss the fusion, the screws, the rods.
So the shifting is the determining factor of whether you're going to fuse or something or not.
Yes,
something or other.
Exactly.
How about that? Dr. John Astrar, the neurosurgeon at the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute, with us on ESPN West Palm tonight. What are the most common images that are needed for patients to be seen at your type of practice?
Basically, the images that we need is an MRI of the cervical or lumbar spine. And preferably, if they come in, it'd be great to have, if they have dynamic x-rays, which are called cervical or lumbar flexion extension x-rays, where they actually bend forward and get a snapshot of the spine, kind of like a chest x-ray.
Yeah.
And then extend backwards and get a snapshot, and then neutral position, and also standing and laying down. Because you can actually be surprised. You can get an x-ray or an MRI, which is in the laying position. You look at, hey, the alignment looks good.
And then when you move, that's when it changes.
You stand up with the weight bearing, all of a sudden you see it slip. So some doctors don't order flexion extensions, and then they do the laminectomy, which is the decompression. They don't know that the patient had instability, and then the patient's getting worse, and they get x-ray. Oh, my God, it's shifted. So sometimes every patient has surgery in my hands has to have those dynamic x-rays.
Just to cover a base there too, because you never know. And
exactly.
Then all of a sudden, even if it's not an issue, you don't want to be caught in a position where you operated on somebody and you didn't realize that they had flexion.
Yeah, so now they get two operations, whereas you could have fixed it the first time.
Right. And so if people in the area in the Palm Beach County, Treasure Coast area wanted to come see you, where's your practice located?
We have two locations, one in Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard. And then the other one is up in on Becker Road in Port St. Lucie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? And tell us a little bit about the new Tenet Hospital that's opening, like you said, in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, Florida Coast Medical Center is a state-of-the-art, brand-new facility. It's opening up on September 9th.
Wow. That's next week.
Yeah, next week. And basically, I was involved in the development of that hospital, and we got top-of-the-line equipment, state-of-the-art equipment, ready to rock and roll.
Wow, how about that? So I guess right now it's just, you know, cutting a couple of ribbons and just making sure everything's clean and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
How about that? That's good to hear. Doctor, for somebody like who's listening, is it more sports stuff that leads to these types of situations? Is it wear and tear? How does these types of, I guess, patients that you see, how does this start?
It's all above. So number one, it's genetics.
Okay.
Number one can be. Number two, wear and tear, body posture, ergonomics. Like here, when you're sitting here in the studio, you want to be upright, you want to have support and create what's called lordosis, curve of your back. When you do the curve of the back, the forces are being distributed down the, let's call it the instantaneous axis rotation of the spine. In other words, the center of gravity of the spine. So therefore, the wear and tear is much less. So activities, trauma, sports, everything.
Wow.
Can contribute to this.
Waking up on the wrong side of the bed, huh? So I guess it could happen anyway, I guess. But genetics plays a big role.
I think genetics does. It's like I tell my patients, I go, look, you have your DNA that creates your proteins. So some proteins, the equivalent to, let's say we're building a house. You build something out of a wood house versus a block house. The block's going to be stronger, right?
Mm.
I don't know where I am in that spectrum. Am I a wood house or am I a CBS house, you know? Everyone's protein structure, everything's different. So some people wear faster, some people have better cells that can absorb the forces of the spine, and they don't wear as fast. So there's a lot of factors. But things that you can control are, of course, the general health. Watch your weight. Watch your cholesterol. Exercise. And people go, cholesterol, smoking, how's that affect? I go, well, don't you know that smoking affects the blood vessels to your heart, leads to a heart attack? And they go, yeah. Well, don't you think there's blood vessels to your spine? So I call it a spine attack. So what you're doing is you're losing the vessels to your spine, therefore no more blood flow, so that it's going to degenerate.
Wow.
Faster. So it's important to look at all those health measures.
Don't smoke. There it is. There's don't another reason. Everybody smoke. Talks about the heart attack. Wow.
Stay away from McDonald's if you can. You
yeah. Know? How about that? So that could happen to the spine as well, and that sort of causes degenerative issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Blood vessels loses access.
Absolutely.
How about that? Well, a couple things here before we close out here. First of all, I appreciate the time, Dr. Afshar. Being from D.C., are you D.C. fan through and through of everything, or did you adopt any of the South Florida teams?
All right. So I did adopt when I was 8 years old, the Miami Dolphins.
When you're 8 years old?
8 years old. I just like
– What, the 70s teams with Greasy?
Yeah, Greasy, Zonka, Kick. By the way, the girl who cuts my hair, one of them that worked there, is Larry Zonka's niece.
Really?
Yeah. Because he lives in Ocala.
Yeah, okay. How about that? Yeah. So you adopted the Dolphins, but living in D.C. during those Dolphin great years in the early 70s.
Yes.
And then you stuck with them through and through, and I guess it worked out.
Until?
Oh, my God. You changed? You can't change. What do you mean?
Well, no. They're both my teams. When I was 18, I went to Georgetown. I go, D.C., I got to be a Skins fan. I'm not going to call.
Oh, and of course, they're great in the mid-80s, and they're great through the 90s. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable.
So I went through that. Now, I don't know.
The Joe Gibbs teams.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs teams. So I'm not going to say who it what, but I altered Redskin history. I operated on somebody during the Super Bowl season.
Wow.
And got him back.
Which Super Bowl season was this?
The 80.
86?
Yeah, I think 86. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to go through the injury report history. How about that? That's unbelievable. So like the Theismann teams.
Yeah, Theismann, Joe. Yeah, I used to meet Joe Theismann all the time. My wife worked for a law firm, and Joe had a business or something, so she'd see him all the time, go to Joe Theismann's restaurant. Real nice guy.
Okay, so that's right down the street, too, when you're in D.C. for that long, and especially with those teams. The Redskins were the best team. That was the best team in the early – throughout the 80s and even the early 90s.
Oh, my God.
Those early 90s teams, undefeated. I'm actually watching the Cowboys documentary now, which is on Netflix, which just came out. And it does a lot about the early 90s Cowboys and how a big turning point of that team was 1991 when Troy Aikman, the Redskins were 11-0. Right. And they played the Cowboys, who were sort of budding, young team looking to break onto the scene. And that's when Troy Aikman hyperextended his knee in the middle of the game, and Steve Berline came in and knocked off the Redskins in Washington. And that was a huge win for the Cowboys, like the morale, the Jimmy Johnson teams. It's very interesting. So right now that we're talking about it, it's fascinating because I was literally watching this the other day. But those Redskin teams were unbelievably good.
No, the 80s and 90s in D.C. were incredible.
Yeah, and I guess like thinking about all those teams, how about that? Wow. And you had the Georgetown right there, that was your basketball fix.
Yeah, I used to march through the streets of Connecticut when they had the Big East tournament up there.
Yeah, yeah.
In Hartford, it was kind of dead because of insurance.
Yeah.
Buildings on. But we'd be going through the streets of Hartford and singing all the Georgetown songs. And
Are you Georgetown first? Or are you Dolphins first? Or like what's first for you? What team is first?
I think Dolphins, yeah.
Dolphins over everything.
Yeah, and I converted my brother, too.
What was he? Was he a D.C. fan?
No. He knew that I was Dolphins from the beginning when he's a little boy. He's 10 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a dead Dolphins fan ever since.
Wow, so you got him on. How about this for a second, though? The Washington Commanders are great right now,
and
the Dolphins stink.
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is a phenomenon.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about this year will be interesting to see if the teams kind of catch on to him. And
that team was very old last year, and they were very lucky. A lot of lucky wins throughout the season. So I agree. I think the Washington Commanders are due for a little bit of regression.
Yeah.
But Dolphins, like, get your temperature of the team, get your temperature of that team really quick. What do you think's going on with them?
I don't know.
Are they a mess?
Yeah, I hope they surprise me, but
I don't have a lot of expectations for that team.
The chemistry is not there.
Yeah. I don't love the coach, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
I like the quarterback, actually, if he's healthy. Yeah. That's the one thing about him. But when Tua Tagovailoa plays, I think they actually play like they're a much better team. But, I don't have a lot of expectations for the Dolphins this year. all those years of the Patriots too, beating down on the Dolphins too.
Oh my God. It's been painful.
How about that? Well, Dr. Afshar, I appreciate it. Do you watch every Georgetown game still or no? Do you not get into it?
I love to. I just, I'm so,
they're never good.
I'm so busy.
And you're and it's also, those are Tuesday night games.
Yeah,
it's a weird time.
If they got a little bit of winning streak.
Yeah. Ed Cooley, they got the new coach there who's done a good job. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I agree. I'm a UConn guy. So, like, I'm riding high because the team's great and the program's been great. But I do love my Big East basketball. So,
Big East is fantastic.
I appreciate Dr. Afshar for giving us a little bit of an insight into your practice, your career, and what has worked and what Palm Beach County residents, Treasure Coast residents, what they should look for in order to potentially come see you for your services. But we appreciate, we'll talk again soon. All right.
You got it.
Dr. John Afshar, neurosurgeon at the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute. Colin Russo here with the ESPN West Palm. Taking a time out here on ESPN West Palm tonight.